There are believers today who have made a box and they've put God in their box. He cannot go beyond the parameters of that particular box, and they are convinced that they've got God figured out over the years and everything is now in control. Their control. And that box that they've constructed for God is only as big as the attitude of their heart. Most of us desire to retain the control of our life, but our precious Lord tells us that we must come to Him with the heart of humility, with the heart of a small child, for in so doing, we discover the true understanding of the kingdom of God, a faith that will commit to and to surrender to God completely. A faith that will learn to pray despite the consequences, Lord, whatever you want, I want. God desires that you and I be His ambassadors on this earth. As we've already seen in these messages, the very first thing that has to happen is we must submit to Jesus Christ. We must run and jump into His arms. We sang the song a few minutes ago about Jesus being our strong tower. We must have a trust in Him, just like David the psalmist said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything at all ever again." That's my translation from the Hebrew. Well, God was about to ask Noah to commit to something that was not completely unheard of in that day, that is, building a boat. But the size of what he was about to build was bigger than any of us, and especially Noah, could have dreamed. Have you ever dreamed like that? I mean, have you ever dreamed of doing something far beyond what you think you could have ever done? And for so many, those dreams never become reality because we allow Satan and his demons to steal those dreams from us. Whether we're young or we're old and we make that box of God only to allow God to work in that box that we have created for Him. And God was just about to show Noah that the box he was going to build was something far greater than even Noah could imagine. It's time you and I learn to build an ark. It's time our dreams, we tell the dream stealers of this world to be gone. You're through stealing my dreams and my passions to serve God. It's time that we make sure we build our ark big enough. Well, Moses had to. It took him almost 100 years to do it. Get this picture with me. The Bible says that Noah, because of his faithfulness, had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God had commissioned Noah to build the ark, a big boat, a seaworthy vessel, if you please, with the following dimensions. 450 feet long, 700 feet wide, and 45 foot high. Where was he going to build it? In the middle of nowhere, folks. The desert, I call it his backyard. And let me just show you a little bit, just briefly. This sermon message is not an intent to do the theological implications of the size of the ark, but for my purposes this morning, I want you to see just kind of a perspective shot that if you took those biblical dimensions that I showed you and compared them to a small ship and a railroad car, here's what you'd see. I want you to look at this slide. Now, the scale of this for you engineers is 1 to 75. That's the scale of what we think the ark may have looked like with three floors. And that ship, basically, well, I went on. The full version of the railroad stock car right there is 44 feet long, with a capacity of 2,607 cubic feet. The ark's volume was 1,518,000 cubic feet, which is equal to 569 of those railroad cars. Strung together, these cars, railroad cars, would make a train 5.5 miles long. Now, if that didn't blow you away enough, talking about a big boat, the floor space of the ark was 101,000 square feet. That would be more floor space than 21 standard college basketball courts put together. So, I also found another picture that I thought would really show the perspective. I want you to look at this next slide. There is the ark right there. You see that little guy right there? We'll put a circle around him. That's a man. So that gives you some kind of idea of what God was asking Noah to build. He told him the exact dimensions. He told him to build it in three layers. He told him exactly what to do. Now, Noah is 500 years old when some of his children were born. The Bible says in chapter 7, verse 6, literally of Genesis, that Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came. But Noah's time, things were sick, folks. Everyone lived for what they could get out of the world for themselves. Man was concerned about man. Man was not to look out for the other person. And Noah received a divine commission from the Lord because he was the most only righteous man on the earth. And God entrusted to Noah his divine plan to bring him into what God wanted. Now let's just put this in perspective. To the people of the town where Noah resided, can you imagine? They thought Noah had lost his mind. To God, Noah was his ambassador. No matter what, Noah had to learn to do what? Submit to God. He wouldn't have built the ark if he hadn't submitted to him. And Noah's implicit trust, which followed submission, was in Yahweh himself and God himself, and Noah was going to do exactly what God said to do. How about you? Matthew had not read this message, but this is what he prayed. What about your ark? We make the mistake that we don't build arks today. I hope you do. Young people, let me tell you something. Don't you ever, 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 ever stop dreaming. And don't you ever let some of us old folks steal your dream. I sat back in this church in the 60s, and I had people over the years that I know wanted to steal the dreams I had of becoming a minister, of doing what God told me to do. I will never forget one dear lady at Osborne Junior High School. Mr. Jean knows exactly who I'm talking about. She was my English teacher. Her name was Queechy Cobb. Remember Mr. Cobb, Mrs. Cobb, Miss Cobb? She put her arm around me and that day, and just she was one of my dearest, dearest teachers. Taught me more about the English language than I thought I could ever learn in my life. And she put her arm around me one day and said, "Randy, you're either going to be a doctor, a minister, or a lawyer. Two out of three, maybe. Not a medical doctor, but still." But I thought, I wanted to dream. And she was helping feed those dreams. Don't let Satan steal your dream. And for some of us who are much older than young people age, Satan steals our dreams too. The devil wants you to think not only are we completely worn out in every way, that we have nothing else to give. Boy, it's so nice when I pick up the phone and on the other side of the phone is somebody calling and they said, "Randy, I can't do anything physically, but I just want you to know I've been on my face before God for you this morning and for for Olive Springs Baptist Church. You cannot excite me any more as your pastor than getting a phone call like that. Well, there are four things I want to show you that Noah had to learn, that you and I have got to learn if we're going to build our ark, our boat, big enough. If we're going to dream big enough, no matter how, if we're going to finish well on this earth, if we're going to live day to day as being God's ambassador, just like Noah when he built that boat that is far beyond anything any of us could ever imagine, you and I have got the same and do the same thing. God will not fit in our boxes. He just won't do it. And most of us today, including me, we tend to make our box, and sometimes it gets a little bigger. But the problem is we won't let God out of our legalistic circle that we have built. We leave Him in that box. God is good as long as He conforms to what our rules are. Noah found out that God is not going to abide by that per se. He's going to do His will under what the Word of God says. His rule. And His rule, as Isaiah says, is far beyond anything he could ever imagine. I hope you have your Bibles open this morning. And you have your Bibles looking at Genesis chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 13, and I'm going to take these verses as we go, and I want you to walk with me through them this morning. The very first thing that Noah had to understand from God was this. It was the fact, God will do what He says. Verse 13, "Then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Therefore, I am going to destroy them along with the earth." God told Noah He was going to do two things. First, that He was going to put an end to all people, and that He was going to destroy man because man was full of violence. Imagine being the only godly person on this earth. Standing alone in one's confession of God, in worshiping and witnessing for God. Imagine not knowing another godly person on this earth. Not a single person who worships God. The first thing Noah had to completely, totally believe and understand is that God will do what He says. What will God do? Sin will never go unpunished. Period. What else would God do? He brought redemption from sin through Jesus and His shed blood. What else will God do? He will never leave you nor forsake you. What else will God do? God will get your attention as a believer. God will continue to show us how to conquer evil and pick up the snake the right way, that is trust. God is preparing a place for you and me that we can't understand. And that word is topos, T-O-P-A-S in the Greek. It is a place. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not some dream. It is a place with streets of gold and gates of pearl that God has put and placed for you and me. And the promise of God also, He is coming back. Folks, God will do what He says. It is obvious the Christians in the 21st century are not living like this because you can't tell the difference between a born-again Christian and a pagan who walks our streets. Second thing. Sounds like times of Noah, doesn't it? Then there was the instruction. Build your ark God's way. Chapter 6, verse 14. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it with pitch inside and outside. This is how you're to make it. 450 feet long, 75 foot wide, 45 feet high. You're to make a roof finishing the sides of the ark to within 18 inches of the roof. You are to put a door in the side of the ark. Make it with lower, middle, and upper decks. Understand that I'm going to bring a flood, floodwaters on the earth to destroy every creature under heaven with the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will die. That's the Holman Christian Standard Bible translation. God called Noah to build this overwhelming boat, ship, if you please, to dimensions that no one could understand. It was never needed before, the people said. Why is this crazy man building this now? You see, Noah had to cast himself completely upon God. He had to do things God's way. I don't know about you folks, but I want to do it my way. I've got it all figured out. I've got God in my little box, and if we can just do this, 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 and this over the next 20 years, God, I can finish well on this earth. I'm going to tell you something, folks. As your pastor, I've got to let God out of my box. I've got to let God do whatever He wants to do in my life. I can't say I can't do it. I'm not worthy to do it. None of us are worthy, folks. We're not even worthy to sit here in this worship house except the blood of Jesus has covered you and me. We got to build an ark. We got to get God out of that little box that we've put in there for Him because He's so much bigger, but we got to do it God's way. And I get in the way all the time. As I get older, the more I'm learning about God, you know, Randy, I will do what I say, and you just do it my way. And I'll take care of it. I'll see to it. But you got to do it my way. What's God telling you to build as far as you are? Maybe you've been at a restaurant or in the store. And you know you needed to at least say something about God's church and what God is doing, or about your relationship to God. Some way, somehow, get into a spiritual conversation with someone. As believers, we've all been there. Well, then you say to yourself, man, they'll think I'm being pushy about my religion or my faith. And this is a public place. We don't need to talk about spiritual things here. And don't worry. If God already said that His desire is that everybody experience salvation, He won't need me. He'll send someone else. Do you see the box? Do you see what we're doing? God will send someone else. God's sending you and me at that moment. We always add our postscripts. I do. The hardest thing for a believer to do in the 21st century is to give up control. And being His ambassador will mean that we have to do that. Wow, folks. The ark was to be made of gopher wood. The ark was to have separate rooms and cabins positioned off to the side. The ark was to be waterproof. And I got to tell you this, folks. Back up here in Genesis chapter 6, we are in verse... Let me back up here and find that. You shall make a window for the ark. Verse 16, you shall finish it, you shall make it with an oar, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters. Let me back up. Help me find it. It's the word pitch. Make yourself and cover it inside and outside. Verse 14, with pitch. Chapter 6, verse 14. The word pitch is the Hebrew word where we get our word atonement. The ark was covered. Cover it. You and I have been covered, same word, with the blood of Jesus. And you know what? You're sealed. Airtight. Just like the ark was waterproof. Now, I could get in a long theological discussion with you about the emphasis of the theological understanding of the ark as alongside of Jesus. But that's just one of the ways. I'm sorry, I had to point that out. Because that is such an incredible, incredible thing to know and to understand. The ark was to have an opening, a skylight for ventilation and light. One opening. Why? Because there's only one way to heaven, folks, and that's through Jesus. He didn't put a little wind in there. Oh, well, let's just give them a little light. He put a window in there to show them there's only one way out of this thing and in it like that, and it's a light. that God is going to shine through, where they could see that things are protected, that God took care of them. Noah had to believe God. He had to surrender to God, and he had to believe that God did exactly what he said with that ark. He made it waterproof, because if Noah had not built this ark exactly to God's specification, it would have sunk. I don't do things the way God wants them to do. Peter tried that too when he walked on water. Took his eyes off Jesus. Here's the third thing. There's the promise in verses 18 through 21. God will sustain you. Now, folks, we have to believe that. Look at this. Verse 18, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark with your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. You're also to bring into the ark two of all the living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive. Two of everything, from the birds according to their kind, to the livestock according to their kind, from the animals that crawl on the ground according to their kind, will come to you so that you can keep them alive. Verse 21, take with you every kind of food that is eaten. Gather it as food for you and for them." The number one strength that Noah had was not only his ability to build something, but he obeyed God. And he trusted God. What faith, folks? Do we have that same faith? When things are at their worst, do we really believe God's going to take care of us? Have you come to the point in your life where you don't know where your next meal is coming from? Have any of you in this room ever experienced that in your own life? Would you believe God? God was about to bring judgment, folks. Judgment to this world. Every one of you sitting here, all of us in this room, we're going to die. We began that process the second, split second we were born. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And if you are a believer, you will give an account for how you've lived upon this earth, for the works you've done to God, for God, since becoming a child of God. And for the Christian, this is called the Bema, B-E-A, the judgment seat of Christ, which I believe in my heart under the Word of God happens immediately following the rapture of the church. But God has provided the way of salvation through His shed blood. He's opened the window, folks. He's put a skylight there, and that skylight is covered with an empty cross. And the only way you can move from an earth, not hell, but heaven, is through that window that is only through one name, Jesus. So Noah had to understand the fact. God will do what He says. He had to make sure he understood God's instruction to build the ark God's way, not his way. That's giving up that control part. That's not an emotional thing, folks. That's literally just giving it to God. It is so hard to live that way. We want to hold on. And in the process of doing that, the promise of God in the verses I just read to you is that God will sustain you. But then there's a fourth and final thing. There's the commitment. Obey God no matter what. We read that. That's our memory verse for this week. I love the Holman Christian Standards translation. "And Noah did this," period. He did all that God said to do, Matthew. He got everything taken care of. He did it exactly by the dimensions that God said to do. He didn't box God. Now, Lord, I know you're saying build this big thing, 450 feet, 75, all this stuff. But you know, Lord, if I refine this a little bit, we don't need three decks. We can do it in two. We can get this many. And you see what happens? See what I'm doing? This is the way we live. This is what we do. Noah says, and God says, you can't do it that way. You got to do it like the book said. He told us each one reach one on this earth. If we'd have done that, we'd have done one this entire globe to Jesus over 20,000 times over. Just if each one reached one. Noah did this. He did everything God
told him to do.
You know something about Noah?
He had no evidence.
You know, God says in the Bible that God spoke to Noah, but if you're looking around to find evidence of everything, that's what this world looks at. Show me how God exists. Give me the evidence for God. When Moses went to the burning bush, and he says, "What's your personal name that I can tell them who sent me?" What did he say? Yahweh, I am. God said, "That's all you need." When Moses picked up the snake by the tail, and that snake became the rod again in his hand, God said to Moses, "That's all you need is my power in your life. You don't need anything else." Noah, build the ark. And Noah did this. Wow. It's imperative that we do the will of God. Being an ambassador of God on this earth means that you and I will obey God. Obedience, that's not a lethargic word, that's a verb. It's an active word. It is a word that trusts implicitly. It is a word that, without a doubt, sees the power of God. It is the word that builds faith and the commitment. When Michael and Bethany were small children, they used to stand up to me, either on their bed or a couch or whatever, and I would stand next to them very, very close, and I'd tell them to jump to Daddy. And I can remember Michael or Bethany, neither one refused. The only problem is when they both would jump at the same time. And Michael was 3 years older, and me then, of course I could, but if they did that now, I'd be in the hospital somewhere. But I would hold them when they would jump. Suppose neither would jump. They would think, and you would think, "Do you believe I'll catch you, Michael and Bethany?" I might coax, and they might nod yes. But if they never jump, would they really believe in their heart that I would catch them? No. That's where most of us are today. God's there. God's powerful. God saved me. God can do all this. But I'm just not ready to. Key to being God's ambassador is submit, trust. And then the third word I want to tell you, write it down at the bottom of the page. Write the word commit. Now, you can break down the ambassador part of this if you don't do any of these in this order. If you submit and not willing to trust, you have to move from trusting. But when you've done these two, and you know it, you move in the direction of complete, total commitment to God. We're human. We're sinful creatures. But yet saying to God that I commit to you. I submit. I trust. I commit to you. All of these words in that order. And that's what God taught Noah. He showed him once again because God said the only faithful man on the face of the earth was Noah. And God revealed His will. Now listen closely to me. The closer we get to the Lord, the madder we make the devil, the harder it is to be the Christian that we're supposed to be. And I want to tell you the other side of that. The closer you and I grow in our discipleship, in our growth with the Lord, the more and the stronger that God communicates through His Word, His will to you and me. What is that saying? God rewards the faithfulness of His people as He reveals His will to them. That's how we know God's will, even as a church. Because when we continue and grow deeper in our walk with God, God gives and shares and reveals, and we know because we're in tune. Noah was in tune. He heard God. He listened for God, and he obeyed God. And as a result, he committed. He says, "No matter what, I'm going to build this ark, no matter how far-fetched it may be, no matter how people think, the crazier they think I am, I'm going to do it because God said so." How about your ark?
My ark.
How big is it, Philip? How big is the one you built or building? Is it still the size of a little box? Or is it growing to that thing I just put up there of Noah? Have you quit dreaming? I don't care if you're 60, 70, 80, 90, 12, 10, 2 or 3, or 8 or 9 or 10. Have you quit dreaming? I remember Roseland Baptist Church as a small, small child. Kim Wiley was the minister of music, Doug. And it was a situation there being a smaller situation. Kim would sit up here, and I could always see that proverbial finger. He wanted me to come sing. But I was about this high. I was too short to be seen, so he'd put me up on two Baptist, then the old Broadman shape notes hymnal, the brown one, you know. He'd put me up on the altar, as we called it, the communion table, so that the people could see me. I fixed him one Sunday, though. He'd done that before to me, and he says I'd do Amazing Grace or something. I wasn't but six or seven. Elvis Presley was popular during those years. And he put me up there one day, and I was going to fix Kim Wiley. My mother and daddy was sitting right out there, and I'll never forget. Kim says, "And what are you going to sing for us today, Randy?" Right there in front of God and everybody on that communion table, I said, "I'm going to sing Elvis Presley's Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog." But you know, it was men like Kim Wiley who extended and showed me how to dream. I'm so glad God put people like that. Make sure that you help people dream. We can build an ark just like Noah, but we just got to do it. Folks, we got an ark in this community that's so big. I'm telling you, I know there's one light in it. It's only Jesus. But how do we construct that ark? How do we reach and continue to reach this community even more? And God knows my heart and your heart. You're doing one incredible job. I had a conversation with a fellow pastor this week, and we were talking about the ministry of this church alone and what God is accomplishing right here through you people. To minister to 75 and 80 young people in Awana, so soon to be in the next few weeks, to minister to 150, 200 kids in Vacation Bible School, to do what God is leading us to do and ministering. Folks, we just got to build the ark. We got to realize that it's God's ark. He's showing us how to do it. Let's grow closer and closer and closer, even in our older age, even in our younger age, to where God can reveal that will over and over to us. Until we all, including this pastor, we did. That's what happened. Make sure you build your boat big. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time to preach this message. You've given me such awesome, awesome opportunities over my life. I am blown away, Father, to understand your power and to see that. And Father, you've given me the wherewithal to prepare and to preach your word. And Father, it is not me, it's you. And you receive all the glory and honor for it. But Father, I can't make anyone do what Noah did, that is commit. I can only do that for myself. So you have me. As the song says, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am and everything I'm not, I am yours. You take me and use this old vessel to accomplish your will 24/7. Father, I'm not the only one in this house that will pray that prayer. There's so many others. So, Father, may this place become our altar now. Our altar of commitment. Our altar to say, yes, Lord, we submit. Yes, Lord, we trust you. And yes, we're going to commit. We don't understand the consequences. We can't see all the stuff that's out there, but we know that you're telling us what we must and continue to do. God, give us the wisdom now and the commitment to do it. I love you, Father. And I love these folks. Thank you in this lifetime you've given me and continue to give me the opportunity to stand in this place Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and preach your word. You break through our words. Change our hearts. That's something none of us could do, only you can.
So do it, I pray. Thank you, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Would you stand to your feet as we close this service, as this becomes our altar? Doug, lead us. And let's sing that little chorus.
Lead me, Lord. I will.
Course again, would you?
Leave me.